Are you looking for veteran resources and peer support? Objective Zero has an app for that. Download the Objective Zero app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Access wellness resources like yoga and a free year subscription to Headspace, the world's most popular meditation app. Check out veterans resources and access our nationwide network of peer support. Speak to fellow women veterans or someone in your field and branch of service. You get to choose who you want to chat with. Learn more at www.objectivezero.org. That's www.objectivezero.org.
Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Let's go to war, baby!
All I know is war, all I know is shoot. All I want is more. I'm a soldier, I'm a warrior. Got a emblem on my cover. And ask me what I did for ya. I put the trash deep down under. Yeah, I'm a dog of war. Hell's what I've been through. I'm a dog of war. I did it all for you, yeah.
Hello, and welcome back to the War Dog Trail. This is your host, the one and only Sergeant War Dog. Got some good news. Beginning next week, Wednesday, July 10th, the War Dog Trail will begin being syndicated and broadcast on the DV Radio Network. For those of you that don't know already, DV in this case stands for Dysfunctional Veterans. DVRadio.net is their website if you want to catch any of their broadcasts. And when we air live, as we did on Saturday night, occasionally I'm a co-host on the Barracks Talk podcast, which airs live on Saturday nights from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m., for that, you'd want to tap into, as I said, the Live 365 app, or after the show's been produced, you can find all of their podcasts on the Podbean app. Tonight, I will spend time talking to you about what it was like the night before the Iraq war began, when we waited at the border back in March 2003. Prepared for whatever, ready to live, die, cry, do what had to be done. But before we move on to that aspect of this episode, I'm going to bring you into the Sergeant's Playlist. This first song is by Militant Me. You can find him on Instagram under the name Militant Me. This is his song, Hero of War.
He said, son, have you seen the world? What would you say if I said that you could? Just carry this gun, you'll even get paid. I said, that sounds pretty good. Black leather boots, spit shine so bright. They cut. Came friends as we learned how to fight. A hero of war, yeah, that's what I'll be. And when I come home, they'll be damn proud of me. I'll carry this flag to the grave if I must, 'cause it's a flag that I kicked in the door. I hear my command.
she wants from bullet sands haze. I asked her to stop, I begged her to stay, but she pressed on. So I lifted my gun and I fired away. It's a flag that I love. It's the only flag I trust. He said, son, have you seen the world? What would you say if I said that you could?
Let's go to war!
All right, that was Militant Me with his song, Hero of War. Militant Me can be found on Instagram under the name Militant Me. All right, quickly, before I jump into the night before we cross the border, I'd like to let you know how I spent Memorial Day 2020. Generally, I prefer to go out to my property about 60, 70 miles away from home where we are building Camp Doghouse. Camp Doghouse, again, is going to be our camp for homeless Iraq and Afghanistan war veterans. We're trying to provide RVs and trailers for between 5 and 20 homeless veterans in the Central Florida area. In addition to the RVs and trailers as their homes, we will attempt to provide them clothing from Sergeant War Dog TV merch, as well as hot meals provided by BLD Catering, which is based here in Orlando, Florida. So, went off grid again with my buddy Mark, who you've seen numerous times with me on social media, on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, Twitter. Mark and I had a great time, man. Mark brought out his Jeep, took the doors off, and we went out mudding, man, for nearly 7 hours. Did some trail riding, 24 miles worth of trail riding and mudding. Had a great time collecting footage of other ATV and UTV riders. I did get out there with the GoPro Seeker backpack. Had the elevated El Grande 3-foot pole standing above me on my backpack. And at the same time, I was recording slow motion as different four-wheelers happened to go through certain mud holes and mud, you know, great mud spots, so that we could acquire our own slow-mo footage to be used on the web series. And like I said, we had a great time. Had a great time. Got to pay my respects to my boys as usual. Pay my respects to my fallen Marines. I did bring out my memorial picture as I do each year out there. Normally, I only go out there and do a little bit of AR-15 shooting just to pay my respects and, you know, to feel like a Marine again, man. To do what I need to do as a grunt. But, this year is totally different. Didn't bring any guns. Spent the whole time mudding and camping, baby. Like I said, just the mudding and camping. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thoroughly enjoyed everything that had the chance to do and clear my head and, you know, as I said, pay my respects to my boys. All right. The night before we crossed the border into Iraq, in March 2003, yes, I'm taking you back 17 years. 17 years when the war began, when I first left the country, January of 2003. I was 18 years old. I was a saw gunner in the Marine Corps, carrying the M249 saw, the squad automatic weapon. By February of 2003, I turned 19 in Kuwait. And then in March of 2003... hey, the war began, and it was time to get your shit together and go handle business. You know what I mean? All right. The base that we happened to stay at or live at was known as Camp Ripper. Camp Ripper was only about 20 to 30 miles away from the Iraq-Kuwait border. So once President Bush gave the order that, Saddam Hussein and his sons needed to leave the country. As soon as he gave his speech, we were already packing, and, you know, we were rushing and packing and getting the AAVs, amphibious assault vehicles, getting the tanks, Humvees, every vehicle you can think of, every aircraft you can think of. The Marine Corps was in full high alert, so that we could proceed and possibly find out if the war would commence. After the day after President Bush gave his warning to Saddam and his sons, we traveled from our original base, like I said, at Camp Ripper, about 20, 30 miles from the border. We broke down that complete camp, man. We were only living in very large wooden tents. Tents large enough to hold probably, say, two platoons worth of Marines. And that's anywhere from, I'd say, maybe 60 to 80 Marines per tent. Anyway, we broke down all those tents, burned everything we didn't need, packed up our gear, made peace with our Maker, said our prayers, and we took off for the border. I don't know the exact distance that we moved to once we relocated closer to the border, but I can tell you that once we got there, we were close enough to hear American planes dropping bombs for 10 hours straight at the Iraqi border, where about 250 or so Iraqi tanks happened to be waiting on the ground for us. And you know, I'm a grunt, man. I'm a guy on the ground. So for me to hear that there were 250 fucking tanks waiting at the border, I was a little worried, to say the least. I didn't know for sure if we'd make it out of that first day. If you think back to, you know, World War One, World War Two, D-Day, you know how bad things get on the first day of a war. You know that first day is usually full of a lot of death, a lot of injuries, a lot of men being wounded, men and women, excuse me. So hearing over the radio that nearly 250 tanks were waiting for us, and the tanks that the Iraqis used were usually the Russian, I want to say, T-72 or T-65 models. After finding out that all of those were there waiting for us, it totally changed my perspective on things. It went from feeling like, hey, this might be a little bit of a cakewalk, a little bit of a blowout, if you might say, in terms of fighting, to, oh, shit, it might go down. These dudes might kill me. within the first hours on the first day. And I just simply had to swallow that, as everyone else did in the 1st Marine Division, as we all moved towards the border, as I said, and then we halted and waited so that the softening of the target could begin. And by softening of the target, that's where I'm talking about the planes coming in and dropping, helicopters coming and dropping, artillery dropping from their locations. I mean, we were pouring on damn near everything we had so that we could make it as easy as possible for guys like me, the grunts on the ground, to get through the border and eventually make it all the way to Baghdad so that we could seize the capital and get Saddam Hussein out of power. Now, that first night, some of my most vivid memories were spent converting my 782 Deuce gear onto my flak jacket, or bulletproof vest, as what's known to civilians. I spent most of that night, as I could look off and hear in the distance, knowing that thousands of men that were trying to kill me and wanted me dead were actually getting the business themselves, man. They were catching hellfire and destruction from the bombing and the bombardment of the Iraq-Kuwait border. So, as I said, I spent most of that night taking things off of my Deuce gear, because I wanted to be as quick and as nimble as possible. And if you know, as I mentioned, I was carrying the M249, you know that long-ass light machine gun is quite cumbersome, man. It is not easy to simply move from one place to another or operate as fast as someone who's carrying, say, just a pistol or an M4 rifle. The SAW, the squad automatic weapon, the M249 itself, weighs about 17 pounds. Now, it has a 200-round drum, and that weighs a little over 7 pounds. So you add that to the weapon, and we're looking at, give or take, 24, 25 pounds that you're carrying in your hand, plus about 1,000 rounds of ammo, which is, you know, 5 drums. That was the standard loadout for SAW gunners at the time back then. I did not want to be left behind by the rest of my squad of Marines or my platoon of Marines. I disliked the idea of the fact that the Deuce gear on top of my flak jacket made every bit of my movements just, you know, harder to operate with. So what did I do? I unclipped, you know, what I could. And thankfully, the new flak jackets actually utilized the MOLLE system. So I was able to, you know, unclasp canteens, grenades, my saw drums, grenade pouches, my bayonet, my medical kit. I took all of those off of my 782 Deuce gear and spent the majority of that night perfecting my vest so that the next morning when we did finally cross the border, I would be prepared. So that I would be ready and nimble and quick as I felt I needed to be as a saw gunner in order to survive in this war or in that war. All right, we'll take a little quick break here. Bring you back into the Sergeant's Playlist one more time with Caleb Daniels and his new song, real friends.
I got real friends and I keep them close to me. I got real friends and they mean the most to me. I've been going through some shit, but I still keep that hope in me. Cause no matter how it goes, I still got the bros with me.
I got like three homies and two bros, we bout to fuck the city We about to blow and know we all think we the one. That's that friendly competition while we in as fuck. The sauce is filling up and y'all skins in enough.
And it's a tag team, we gon' lead the way. Came a long way from the backseat when they used to hate. Now they kissing on my ass cheeks. Now we run the game like a motherfucking track me. Yeah, ayy. I got a homie in Louisville, shout out my brother, he doing his thing. Yeah, I got a homie in Germany, been a minute since he been in the States. Yeah, I got some homies back home in Kentucky, ain't seen them since I moved away. Yeah, and I got new homies in Michigan, I swear to God that ain't none of them fake. Yeah, only keep the real ones around me at this point in life. Some people say one thing and do the other, that's just no surprise. Yeah, we been running numbers. Boy, y'all been rolling dice. I'll never switch up on my brothers, and I put that on my life. Yeah, I got real friends, and I keep them close to me. Yeah, I got real friends, and they mean the most to me. I've been going through some shit, but I still keep that hope in me. Cause no matter how it goes, I still got the bros with me. Yeah, I got real friends, and I keep them close to me. Yeah, I got real friends, and they mean the most to me. I've been going through some shit, but I still keep that hope in me. Cause no matter how it goes, I still got the bros with me. Yeah, I got like three homies and two bros, we bout to fuck the city up. We harder than diamonds when that pressure's building up. Hop out at the shows and all these bitches show us love. If you think you breaking up, that's why you out of love.
Ay, cause we ain't tryna make y'all happy. You ain't my bro, don't try to dab me. Cause we bout to go and get it on our own. When we pop off and we blow, say I did it for my family. Ay. Cause I do this shit for the bros and the fans that be fucking with me. When me on the track, it's 150. I work too hard to be fucking with nobody that ain't ready to put in their way. Try to show them what they hate. No, I give a fuck what they say. I told my family that I'm gon' get it and bring it back to them. But I'm about to do this shit all my way. There ain't nothing gon' stop me, and that I can guarantee you. Know that I'll be thinking about you when we gone, we on the way. Even when I'm on the road and I can barely see you, all you need to know is I got you if you got me. Yeah, yeah.
I got real friends and I keep them close to me. Yeah, I got real friends and they mean the most to me. I've been going through some shit, but I still keep that hope in me. Cause no matter how it goes, I still got the bros with me. Yeah, I got real friends and I keep them close to me. Yeah, I got real friends and they mean the most to me. I've been going through some shit, but I still keep that hope in me. Cause no matter how it goes, I still got the bros with me. Yeah.
That was Caleb Daniels and his song, Real Friends. Caleb comes to us out of Michigan. He's one of my original artists on the Sergeant's playlist. He's originally from Kentucky. You can find him on Instagram at I Am Caleb Daniels or on Twitter at I Am Caleb Daniels. All right, moving on. If I haven't mentioned already, I was stationed in 29 Palms, California, in the desert, in the Mojave Desert specifically. I was assigned to the 3rd Battalion, 4th Marines, Kilo Company, 1st Platoon. And as I said, my first two tours in Iraq, I was a saw gunner, which meant I carried the M249 squad automatic weapon. Now, I just gave you a quick overview of what the night before we crossed the border and Iraq was like, and how I spent most of that night before I eventually had to, you know, take on my duty of fire watch for 1 hour during that night. Each man had an hour, and then eventually I got to get my sleep so that when we woke up the next day, man, my flak jacket was as fully prepared as I liked it. I no longer needed the deuce gear, so I stowed that into my molly pack. And at that time, all of our molly packs happened to be strapped on the outside of Marine AAVs, amphibious assault vehicles. So I got rid of the deuce gear, went on with the flak, and with the rest of the 1st Marine Division, man, we waited at the border until it was our turn to cross. Now, I can never forget that as we got closer to the border, we could see places where combat engineers and demolitions experts had blowing line charges through certain parts of the border, which took out, you know, massive chunks of the desert wall of sand that stayed there, or that stood there, excuse me. As well as a whole bunch of concertina or barbed wire. As we finally got to where our battalion was on deck to move through the border, I remember seeing plenty of concertina wire, plenty of wide holes blown into the sand wall at the border, wide enough so that we could, you know, get our tanks through, AAVs, Humvees, fuel trucks, everything that we needed, all of our convoys, so that we could operate and go handle business in Iraq, man. Once we made it through, I can't tell you about the bodies. As I told you before, we bombed that border for 10 hours straight. Namely, because there were 250 tanks there waiting for us, you know, to give me the business as the grunt, man. To give me the business as a grunt. Put a hole in me. Take me out on the first day, man. But thankfully, as I said, we did have planes, Cobra helicopters, artillery. The Navy was firing from their ships. Simultaneously, we had bombs dropping over Baghdad on the city of Baghdad so that we could let them know that, hey, this is real. This is serious. We gave Saddam and his sons 48 hours. We've heard no compliance. So here the fuck we come. That's pretty much just how that went down. Everything was full speed, helter skelter. Now, also, while we waited at the border, let me back up some. Before we crossed, during the daytime, the Iraqis happened to fire a Scud missile at us. I can't remember now if that was more than one Scud or not, but they did fire a Scud at us that I remember particularly. And with everything else during that time, the call went out, gas, 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 because we thought, you know, we could possibly be chemically attacked. We donned our masks. And from what I understand, the Patriot missile, which happens to be made by Lockheed Martin, was able to intercept that Scud, take it out in midair. Because that's what it does. That's what it's made for. It intercepts any incoming indirect fire that it is able to lock onto to protect U.S. military forces. And I'd be damned if it didn't do that that day and save my life. Proceeding back to where we were. Did indeed, as I said, cross the border. And from there, man, it was just rolling, observing, riding, and waiting until we hit each village and city that we were assigned to hit. And once we did, I'm gonna tell you real quick, biggest thing that I remember from each of those moments are the sound of the doors when the AAV drops. There's a certain little clink clink type of noise that the AAV doors make whenever they are opening or closing to let out the Marines that happen to be in the back. So I can't tell you how many times I pulled up in front of cities or villages there in Iraq during that first tour, when things were still hot, before we had any bases, before the green zone ever existed. I can't tell you how many times, man, we pulled up somewhere and you just hear the clink clink of those doors, and no matter if you were asleep, daydreaming, or you were up on air security through the open door hatches up top, once that ramp dropped and you heard Marines yelling, "Hey, ramp dropping, ramp dropping." So we all knew. And in my particular AAV, we were stuffed in there like sardines, man. I mean, I don't know what the original personnel requirements are, but we were definitely over and above that, hovering at, say, 20 to 25 Marines in my particular AAV alone. No chances to stop when you need to use the bathroom. No chances to stop when you need to do anything if the convoy didn't stop. So as we were rolling, if you had to take a leak, man, you found an empty water bottle, cut the top off, did what you had to do, tossed the bottle, and we kept rolling. Now, the only chances you might have had to do number two were once we stopped for security halts. You know, once we'd gone numerous amount of miles and it was time for the entire convoy to halt somewhere. And then when that would happen, again, the ramp would drop and we would let out 2 to 4 Marines from each AAV to provide security for the entire convoy from the front of the convoy where the tanks were all the way to the rear where there were other tanks and of course out to our flanks. This has been the night before we crossed the border with Sergeant War Dog here on the War Dog Trail. Gonna give you the last song from the Sergeant's playlist for the episode. Once again, this is Caleb Daniels and his new song, Cuffin' Season.
Cuffin' season's got me feeling down, down, down. Got me thinking back to when you were around, round, round. I know I'm not alone. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cuffin' season's got me feeling down, down, down. Got me thinking back to when you were around, round, round. I know I'm not alone. Cause when it's cold outside and I don't wanna leave my house, then will you call my line and talk to me about all the things you've been thinking about? That's what I'm thinking about.
Out of my zone, I've been alone for too long. December in Michigan, I just been wishing that I had you all on my own. Cause knowing that I probably won't get you back is like knowing there's nowhere to go. And I hope you know I've been trying to forget you, but that's just not how this shit goes. Girl, you make me feel dumb, cause I know you ain't the one. But deep down I know I only want you, cause I know I can't get what I want. But I need somebody that's down for me, and I feel like that's asking a lot. Cause scrolling through Instagram makes it seem like it's easy to find when it's not, yeah.
It's been way too long since I called somebody mine, yeah. I just need somebody I can waste all of my time with. It's been way too long since I called somebody mine, yeah. But lately I don't know why does she seem so hard to find, yeah. Cuffin' season's got me feeling down, down, down. Got me thinking back to when you were around, round, round. I know feeling down, down, down. Got me thinking back to when you were around, round, round. I know I'm not alone. Cause when it's cold outside and I don't wanna leave my house, then will you call my line and talk to me about all the things you've been thinking about? That's what I'm thinking about.
Shout out to the old me. Back when we was chilling, used to kick it with the homies. Summer came and went, and now the winter's hella lonely. Now I need somebody with some happiness to show me. Need someone to cuddle with, cause that shit sounding cozy. I'll take you out to dinner, baby, you can get to know me. I've been looking for someone to be my one and only. But if I shoot my shot, I hope she don't go play the goalie.
Cuffin' season's got me feeling down, down, down. Got me thinking back to when you were around, round, round.
I know I'm not alone, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Cuffing seasons got me feeling down, down, down. Got me thinking back to when you were around, round, round. I know.
All right, that was Caleb Daniels and his song Cuffin' Season. Once again, Caleb can be reached at he can be reached on Instagram at the name I Am Caleb Daniels, as well as on Twitter under the handle I Am Caleb Daniels. I never got to mention my flight pattern, the travel pattern that I was able to take when we left the States to head to Iraq. I happened to be stationed in the Mojave Desert in 29 Palms, California. We went from the Marine Ground, Marine Air Ground Combat Center, where I was stationed at in 29 Palms, to the local Air Force Base. Then from there, we flew from California to LaGuardia Airport in New York. From New York to Frankfurt, Germany. And then from Frankfurt, Germany to Kuwait. Kuwait City, Kuwait, that is. And I can never ever describe to you what it was like to land in Kuwait and to look up at the airport and to see the Arabic letters and to know that everything was real, that you were there, you were on scene, you were in a foreign country, you were doing your job as a Marine. Now, from what I remember, once we departed the airplane, and after touching down in Kuwait in the middle of the night, we got on buses. We were all handed 1 to 2 magazines worth of ammo, just in case any kind of confrontations took place during our ride on the buses out to our eventual campsite, which was Camp Ripper. And we just went on to try to survive, man. Now, I'm not sure what other units were doing, but once we arrived in Kuwait, we immediately hit the ground running in terms of continuous training and prep for the war. Now, I have friends in other units that were allowed to chill all day, write letters all day, play cards, board games. That's not what went down with 3-4, though, with 3rd Battalion, 4th Marines. Definitely not what went down with Kilo Company. We were hard up on it every day. We were training PT in the mornings, running with sandbags out there in the middle of the Kuwaiti desert on top of our weapons, doing hand-to-hand drills, doing MBC chemical attack preparation, doing medevac drills in case any of our buddies ended up wounded or dead. We were all out preparing in the hot Kuwaiti desert heat. That's pretty much how the beginning of that first tour took place, from leaving the States to our time in Kuwait to waiting at the Iraq border before we went in and handled business. as we needed to. This has been episode 15 of the War Dog Trail. Hope you enjoy. Sergeant War Dog signing out. Salute.
All I know is war. All I know is shoot. All I want is more. But I got some things to do. I'm a dog of war. Hell's what I've been through. I'm a dog of war. I did it all for you.
DV Radio.
What's DV Radio?
DV Radio is for you, the veteran, active duty service member, caregiver, and civilian supporter of the military. DVRadio.net is the online veteran network made for and by veterans. From original shows to syndication, you can find it here on DVRadio.net. In an effort to continue our mission and make better quality shows for each and every one of you, visit our Patreon at patreon.com/DVRadio. Whether you can only pledge $1 per month or that entire $1 million inheritance your uncle left you, there's a tier with rewards waiting for you. So why not keep DV Radio running and get rewarded at the same time? Head to patreon.com/DVRadio now. That's patreon.com/DVRadio.
DV Radio.